Pirkei Avot Hazir, Perek Yud. We until now we've been talking about the fifth day of creation, the Thursday of creation, and we said a bunch of things that Hashem created on the fifth day of creation, and then we said a few things that happened historically on the fifth day of creation, and now Perek Yud is going to talk about the story of Yonah. So the first words in the parak says that the story of Yonah started on the fifth day of creation. Yonah decided to run away on the Thursday. So this is kashur to what this is relevant to what we're talking about before, because it also happened on a Thursday. That's
sorry, I have to ask. Is it somehow a particular lens going according to the Chumash, to the parshas? Not at all.
No. Yeah, because not necessarily.
It's like the numerations. I mean, ten parshas.
It could be that it is. It's just that there's so much. It could be that there's parts of Pirkei Avot that are lost, so we don't have exactly the whole thing. But it's true that the first 14 prakim have to do with creation of the world, and then it starts talking about Mabul, and then it starts getting into like random places and random stories. But
it's very cute to say, okay, fifth day Yonah, fifth day creation.
Yeah.
But we're talking about it. Incredible disparity in terms of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Last week we mentioned a bunch of things that happened on the fifth day of creation as well, on Thursdays that have no shaykhas. Like Yitzchus Mitzrayim happened on a Thursday, Kriyas Yamsuf of Thursday. Like,
okay. So it's obvious.
It's to some idea that happened on the fifth day. That's why.
Could be.
It doesn't say it's like not talking about it. Just like you know, like varieties from different, you know, sources.
Right.
So Pirkei Eliezer, I'm trying to think of his motivation, and is he trying to show the kochus of the fifth day of creation and that it projects itself into the future, so that the fifth day of creation indeed has an effect on the fifth day all the way through history?
Could be. Okay. Another nukuda similar to what you're saying is that the story of Yonah has to do with a big fish. And fish were created on the fifth day of creation. Oh. So there's already another connection over here. There's a third connection. I was just thinking on my own that Yonah, the name Yonah, literally means a dove. It's a type of a bird, and birds are also created on the fifth day of creation. I didn't see anyone that says that, but there's some sort of connection between the fact that Yonah's name is the name of a bird. No one really talks about that. They say over a story that you have an Israeli kid comes home from Cheder or comes home from Gan, and he learned the story of Yonah, where they ended up throwing him in the sea or whatever. And he says, "I don't understand. Why did he just fly away?" Because they confused the word Yonah meaning a bird and Yonah meaning the person. But the way the Radal says it, the whole story happened in one day. Even though there's different parts and things seem like it took longer, but he says that the whole story happened in one day. Okay, no, that's
the entire story. How about if you're walking across Nineveh?
No, not that. I'm saying the whole story with him in the sea and getting out and whatever. That all happened in one day. Okay. So there's a lot of the way Pirkei Avot Hazir works. It's a medrash and it's expanding on the psukim. If we go into the psukim and try to see how everything that the medrash says fits into the psukim, it would just take way too long and it would be too tedious. So we're not going to focus so much on seeing how the medrash works into the psukim. We'll just go with what it says in the medrash. Okay, so let's start. Perek Yud. B'chamishi, on the fifth day of the week, Baruch Yonah mepnei likim. Yonah ran away from Hashem, or because of Hashem. Mepnei means, let's say, because of, as opposed to lifnei. The Malbim in the beginning of Yonah talks about that. Why did Yonah run away from Hashem?
Yeah, but literally it says from his face.
Right.
That's what the word says.
Right, that's what it means literally. But there's also lifnei, which means from in front of.
Yeah.
So they speak that mipnei means because of, not in front of. Because we'll see in later on. But v'lama barach, why did Yonah run away? And this is the Shita of the Pirkei Avot Hazir, which is not necessarily like the Gemara, but it says, the Gemara understands that this Nevuah of Yonah was the first Nevuah that Yonah had. Pirkei Avot Hazir is going to understand that this was actually the third Nevuah that Yonah had. Parmishaina Shlacha Lahashev is Gvoy Yisrael Amdu Dvarav. First Hashem sent Yonah to bring back certain people from Klal Yisrael who were put into Golus. Shenamar Pasuk in Malachim Beis. Vuhashiv is Gvoy Yisrael Milavoy Hamas. Whatever the people were exiled to Lavoy Hamas, which is known as Homs in Syria over there. And then he brought them back. So that was one of what that Yonah had. Pam Shnia, Hashem sent Yonah a second time, Shlochei to Yerushalayim, sent him to Yerushalayim, Achriva, to tell him that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. But Kevin Shasu Tshuva, since the people of Yerushalayim did Tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu also Kerev Chasoda V'nicham Al Ra'ah V'lai Charva. Kadosh Baruch Hu did with a lot of mercy, and he had charata kilu on the bad that he was going to do to them, and he didn't destroy it because they did tshuva. Now this made it that since he gave a nevuah that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed, and people did tshuva and it wasn't destroyed in the end, why Yisrael Karnes and Navi Sheker? The Jews started calling him a Navi Sheker, a false prophet, because he said it's going to be destroyed. It didn't get destroyed. So the Radal points out that this wasn't all the Jews. This was just the Amoratim, because the Amoratim don't realize that if you do tshuva, then a nevuah for bad is going to be overturned. But the Chachamim realize that when Hashem sends a Navi to say bad things are going to happen, if you do tshuva, you could overturn it. But the Amoratim didn't realize that. They just stand. They did tshuva. I don't know why they did tshuva and stuff. They didn't realize. But and then they said, "Ah, you're a Navi Sheker, because the bad thing that you said was going to happen didn't happen." So that's the second nevuah that Yonah had. Pam Shlish is Shlochei leNinveh. The third nevuah that Yonah had was when Hashem sent him to Nineveh. Hashem sent Yonah to Nineveh to tell the people of Nineveh to do tshuva. So Don Yonah din beinoy levinatve. Yonah thought about this between himself. Omar, he said to himself, Ani idea shezeh hagoy krevi tshuvahin. I know that this nation, the people of Nineveh, are close to doing tshuva. We'll see in a moment what that means, why they're close to doing tshuva. Achshav is in tshuva. Now they're going to do tshuva. But Hashem is angry because of the avarice. Instead, Hashem is going to pour His wrath on Klal Yisrael. And I'm going to be the one to blame, because I'm the one who brought about that Nineveh would do tshuva. So I don't want to go. V'loi dai sheYisrael karnei Navi Sheker. And it's not going to be enough that Klal Yisrael is going to be calling me a Navi Sheker, because of before, when I said that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed and they did tshuva and it didn't get destroyed, even the Goyim are not going to start calling me a Navi Sheker, because I'm going to say Nineveh is going to be destroyed and they're going to do tshuva and it's not going to be destroyed, and also start calling me a Navi Sheker. So what was this? I'm going to run away to a place where it doesn't say in the Pesukim that Hashem's covered rests there. And hopefully with that, I'll be able to escape these nevuahs, and I won't have to deal with this. There's a lot of things going on over here, just in these few lines that we read. First of all, as I mentioned before, the Gemara understood that this is the way the Radal explains the whole thing. The Gemara understood that this was the first nevuah of Yonah. He didn't have any nevuahs before this. So The way the Radal brings with the Gemara and the Mechilta together, the Mechilta says that Yonah was running away because Hashem doesn't give a nevuah in Chutz Laretz. Hashem doesn't give a nevuah. Hashem does give a nevuah in Chutz Laretz. That's a Yechezkel, the story in the Valley of Dura, where he brought back, he resurrected the dry bones. That happened in Bavel, didn't happen in Eretz Yisrael. So there is nevuah in Chutz Laretz. So the Medrash Mechilta in Parshas Bo says that what? Daniel, yeah. Daniel is not a Navi, but yeah, Gemara and the Megillah says. What? The what? He had Ruach HaKadosh, not Nevuah, yeah, but the Mechilta in the beginning of Parshas Boy says that this, that there's no Nevuah in Chutz Laretz, is only if this is your first time getting Nevuah, so you won't get it in Chutz Laretz. But if you already had a Nevuah beforehand in Eretz Yisrael, so then you can have Nevuah afterwards in Chutz Laretz. So the Gemara, which understood that this was Yonah's first Nevuah, and the way the Radvaz sort of says it, that when Hashem told him go to Nineveh, that wasn't called a Nevuah, that was Stam, a commandment, and that he was saying go to Nineveh and prepare yourself for the actual Nevuah. So he didn't even have the actual Nevuah yet. So then he's saying, okay, I can run away to Chutz Laretz and I'll never get the Nevuah, and then I'll be safe. That's the way the Radal says that the Gemara and the Mechilta understood it. But Pirkei Avolazar understood that he had two nevuahs previously. And so now, even if he runs away the Chutz La'aretz, he's still going to get the nevuah.
Actually, the third, the only excuse, the whole explanation why Yonah was running away is because of the second nevuah, the first nevuah. Because they called him a sheker.
We'll see exactly what was bothering Yonah about this them calling him a Navi Sheker.
Since this topic, can I ask you something? See the Lashon in the very beginning of this fourth Then Yonah din beino lebein atmo.
Yeah.
The Lashon, I've seen this before, but it's interesting. Like it doesn't say like he was dan din beino. Oh, stamo, dan din benatzmo. Beino benatzmo. Like he is like a two.
Between he and himself.
Between him himself. It's like between two people, not and between one. It sounds funny. It sounds like maybe I could suggest it was trying like a trap in between the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah. Whatever, I don't know.
Could be.
I'm just saying that. I don't know if that's true. But it's funny that the language is not, we're talking about a tongue, it's not stuff.
Right, between he and
it's
himself.
It's not language, it's not just like in your book, actually, someone didn't like my explanation. In your book, it says like the Tanoim had a different kind of Lashon HaKodesh.
Right.
It should be like the Rambam points out, it's like actually like the lower level, it's kind of complicated to say that, I don't want to be the one who says that, but It's not pure as Lashon HaKodesh that are fine in Chumash. It might be there's like using like a, what did it say, colloquial language?
Yeah.
More than like a, you know, like a pure Lashon HaKodesh language. And it could be like an usual, what's it called, language. The kind of like a normal thing to say, to speak like that. But actually, it's interesting, right? Because He was having for here and then it's a called what's it called in struggle kind of thing. It's not just like that. He wasn't thinking. It was done deep. They know the binatmo.
Right. So I'm just saying that according to the Gemara and the Mechilta, so that this was his first Nevuah, so he was running away because he didn't want to receive the Nevuah in Chutz La'aretz, and he knew that Chutz La'aretz you don't have Nevuah. But according to Pirkei Avolazar, he already previously had two Nevuahs, so he's running away not because Chutz La'aretz you don't get Nevuah, but because for some reason he thought that in a Makom that we don't say that the covenant of Hashem is there, then you don't have Nevuah. Not because of this din that in Chutz La'aretz there's no Nevuahs. I'll call upon him. So we said an interesting point over here, that Yonah said that he doesn't want to go to Nineveh to get them to do tshuva because shezeh ha'goy kravei tshuva hen, they're close to doing tshuva. So what does that mean that they're close to doing tshuva? So I wasn't going to speak about this because it doesn't really answer the question so much. But then I found a little bit of a better havana on this. But the Radal, you know, is Zion if you want to look at it. The Radal points you to another piece in Pirkei Avolazar in Perek Mem Gimel, which Meretz Hashem will get to one day. But in Perek Mem Gimel, it says that Paro from Mitzrayim, that we are Paro in the Parsha, so he ended up surviving Kriyas Yamsuf, and he went to Nineveh, and he ended up becoming the king over there. So according to that, the Radal says that's why Nineveh is more curved to Tshuva. Because Paro already knows the Keichas of Hashem, he went through the Makas and everything, so that's why they're the carved to tshuva. That's why Yonah didn't want to go tell them to do tshuva because he knew that they would do it. Maisa, it's a little hard to understand this idea, like why we're just because that Paro is the king, so you would think that they're going to be do tshuva more.
What was the reason that Paro was saved?
Yeah.
Would say
to so tell people go
to tell people whatever that would inspire them to do tshuva.
If he had a power to do that, if you were to choose the right path, you could have done
right.
A lot of, you know, if a guy like what's it called, whoever is in the government today, here in Israel, will do tshuva, okay, maybe here now because he had to just tell him he's, you know, crazy, whatever. But in a different place, like, I said, look, don't be the Jews, they're good people. Maybe it was just like a you know, give a reason like that's kind of, you know, maybe Juba or the president of France or whatever.
I hear. But I get these emails every week from a Yid in Lakewood. His name is Rav Mordechai Koster. So he sends out Shtiglach Torah. It's called Gilyon Gvuras Akiva. That's the name of his works. So he talks about this Radal over here in Parsha Shmois. Basically, what he wants to say is like this: There's a pasuk in Parsha Va'era, that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem. Says, "Hein b'nei Yisrael leishol elai ve'ech yishmoini faroi v'ani aral sfosoyim." Says, "I went to Klal Yisrael and told them, you'll get ready. Hashem sent me to take you out of Mitzrayim, and they didn't listen to me. So you want me to go to Paro? And if Klal Yisrael didn't listen to me, so for sure Paro is not going to come listen to me, right? Hein b'nei Yisrael leishol elai ve'ech yishmoini faroi. Why would Paro listen to me?" So says the Rabbi Yonos and Eibishitz, Teferis Yohannes and the Parshas Va'era, says, "I don't understand what's the Kal V'chomer. Klal Yisrael, the pasuk says, V'loi Shemu Al Moshe Mikritz Ruach Me'Avoid Al Kosha. The reason why Klal Yisrael didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu is because Kritz Ruach, the shortness of breath, because they were so worked up and they weren't thinking properly. Me'Avoid Al Kosha, and they were so hardworking. They weren't in a proper frame of mind to really understand what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them. That's why they didn't listen to him. But Paro, why is the fact that Bnei Yisrael didn't listen a reason, a riot that Paro wouldn't listen? What's Bechal Moshe Rabbeinu's time over here?" So Rabbi Yonos and Eibishitz said that really what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, that I don't want to go to Paro because I'm scared that maybe Paro is going to listen to me and he's going to do tshuva. And then we know that when, let's say, by Klal Yisrael, when they were by Yamsuf, so the Malachim said, "Hello, Lord David Azar, hello, Lord David Azar." So why should we split the sea if Klal Yisrael is Lord David Azar, just like the Mitzrayim were? So Moshe Rabbeinu's chayshit, if I'm going to go to Paro, Paro's going to listen, he's going to do tshuva, and Klal Yisrael is not going to do tshuva. So I'm just going to mess over Klal Yisrael. I may as well not go to Paro. So what the Gevurah Sakiva wants to take from this shtickle of Rabbi Yonos and Eibishitz is, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu was already chayshish that Paro was ready to do tshuva, and that's why that was his whole reason why he didn't want to go to Paro. So he says that's the pshat over here in the Radal. The Radal is saying that the reason why Yonos said that Nineveh is goyazeh kroyve tshuva hein, because it's the same Paro. And if Paro, before the Makkos, there was a chashash that he's going to come and do tshuva, so for sure, at this point in history, for sure there's going to be a greater chashash that he's going to do tshuva. You don't like it?
I don't like it because Moshe Rabbeinu had a guarantee from the Eidishta that Paro wasn't going to do tshuva, that he was going to harden his heart. Okay, until the Eidishta chose.
Was that before Moshe Rabbeinu said this or after Moshe Rabbeinu said this? I don't remember. So if it was,
he said at the very beginning, he's going to be, you're going to do all.
But he said that by the snare already, right?
He's going to harden his heart.
An so awful peak.
Where's the question of Paro doing tshuva? Yeah, I mean, it's all a question of when Hashem decides to take off the pressure.
So maybe even when his heart, and maybe he still had some sort of ability of free choice. Even if it's like not 50-50 but like 75-25.
Initially, whatever he had in his own heart.
Yeah.
Okay. But then the Abish, because he was weeping and he was ready to do too, but the Abish, he stepped in and hardened his heart.
Right.
So it was this idea of tshuva, it wasn't going to happen.
Look, we say ain davar amir b'fnei tshuva. Nothing can stand in front of tshuva. Even if Hashem, even the Gemara says that why did Elisha ben Avuya go off the derech? Because he heard a paschal that said anyone could do tshuva except for Elisha ben Avuya. Like, oh, I can't do tshuva. No, the tie on him is no. Really, even if you hear a paschal that says you can't do tshuva, you can still do tshuva. So could be that even if Hashem said that Paro's not gonna, could be maybe there's still a slight chance, and I don't want to mess over Klal Yisrael just because Paro might end up doing tshuva and they won't. Could be. Another nukuda that the Radal brings down is there's a girsa that doesn't say that our Pirkei Avos says Shezeh Hagoy Kravei Tshuva Hein. This nation, the people of Ashur, are close to doing tshuva. The Radal says that in the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Tzav, when it brings down this Medrash, it says it sounds like it says Shehagoyim Kravei Tshuva Hein. that Goyim are close to doing tshuva. It doesn't say this nation. It says, it sounds like all the Goyim are close to doing tshuva. So he's bothered by why are Goyim more closer to doing tshuva than Jews are. Let's the Radal discuss this. So the Radal brings a pshat from his brother and a pshat from his son. He says that his brother said that the Jews were complacent in their situation because this is the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they'll always say, oh, you know, we have the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is going to give us a kapara, we don't have to do tshuva, we're already hooked up, it's all beseder. Masha'inkin, the Goyim, they didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. So when if a Navi would come and say, you know, the end is near, you better repent, so they're more likely to repent than the Jews would be. And then he brings the Radal brings from his son. His son's name was Chaim Yoina, that we find the Rambam and the Rif talk about different things that are ma'akev tshuva, different things that could block a person from doing proper tshuva. So he says, if you look at most of those things, we're not going to get into what are those chavtala dvarim that are ma'akev tshuva, but if you look at those things, most of them are negated to a Jew and not negated to a guy. Okay, so a Jew has a harder time to do tshuva than a guy would have. Okay. So we said that Yana was bothered by two things. First of all, he said that he knows that these people are going to do tshuva, and if they do tshuva, then Hashem is going to pour His wrath upon the Jews instead of on the Malchus Asher, and he didn't want to be involved in that. And also, if they do tshuva, they're going to start calling. Not only are the Jews going to be calling him a Navi Sheker because of his nevuah about Yerushalayim, but also the Goyim are going to start calling him a Navi Sheker. And the Radal says, and that's going to make a big chilul Hashem. That a chashuv and navi is going to be known in the whole world as a navi sheker. He doesn't want to get involved in that. So that's why he didn't want to go. If you look on the bottom of your Pirkei Avot, in the Bais HaGadol, so he brings from the Abarbanel. Here is a harida. That's the Abarbanel. Rav Yitzchak Don Abarbanel. Here is the harida. It doesn't make sense. Why would they call Yonah a Navi Sheker? If they did tshuva, so then they realized that they were doing the wrong thing, and now they're doing the right thing, and then and they realize that Hashem overturned whatever bad was supposed to come to them. So then they believe. So why would they call him a Navi Sheker? And if they didn't do tshuva, so then Hashem would take and destroy them. So they wouldn't call him a Navi Sheker. So what's this question over here that if I tell them about it and they're going to do tshuva, then they're going to call it, why would they call him a Navi Sheker? It doesn't make any sense. In the Barbanel, the Bayis HaGadol doesn't mention this, but if you look in the Barbanel in Yonah, he says another question. What does Yonah care if they call him a Navi Sheker? Oh, he's just going to go there, some far off country, give him Musar, And then leave. Right? So if they call him Navi Sheker, or they don't call him Navi Sheker, they do tshuva, they don't do tshuva, it doesn't matter to him. He goes there, comes back there, it's his soul, Vizel. No shaitas. We're talking about a point. What? A Barbanel. No, so if we, the Radal really answered it, like we said, that he's chayshish for Chilul Hashem.
So let me ask about tshuva.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got a problem to tell that it's easy to think made tshuva already, then to 2 days and 3 days, and see the same problem. So okay, now it's complicated. Maybe a bit of it. You might fall, you know, all over again. So why am I saying that? So whenever the people already, like, you know, everyone like agreed, okay, let's make tshuva, huh?
Yeah.
So 2 days, 3 days, nothing happened. Jerusalem wasn't destroyed. Baruch Hashem. Maybe the guy, you know, just like they're like messing with us. They didn't do anything. That's like, why are we good people? We don't have any reasons to do, you know, bad things. Maybe this guy's, you know, it's a Navi Sheker. It's easy to say, I'm doing, you know, the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
Because maybe Hashem would like just like turn the skies like black and see like, you know, whatever, hail, like in what happened in Mitzrayim, whatever. And then Jerusalem wasn't destroyed, even though they had a lot of, you know, frightening things happen, but it didn't. Nothing happened. So maybe this guy was just a Navi Sheker. Let's, you know, continue with our life. When they realize they're doing something wrong, they go, you know, to tshuva. That's the difference. Maybe they do tshuva, but
Could be.
Because it says afterwards.
Right, they went back. They did tshuva, and then when they ended up doing going back. Right. Right. The Pious Hagadol over there, he says his own answer over here that his answer is very technical. He says that maybe they were thinking, maybe what would happen is that they would do tshuva, and then they would see that Hashem is going to destroy Klal Yisrael, and they'd say, wait a second, why is Hashem pouring his wrath on the Jews? If we did tshuva, that should be enough to abate Hashem's anger. So you see, really nothing was going to happen to us, and it was all going to happen to the Jews. So why did Yonah give it to us? Oh, give us the warning, because he's a Navi Sheker. That's the way the Bais HaGadol wants to explain it. The Barbanel himself says a slightly different pshat than the Pirkei Avos really says. The Barbanel himself says that what was bothering Yonah was that he knew the Klal Yisrael was doing the wrong thing. And the Hashem already decided that Ashur is going to be the stick that Hashem is going to use to hit Klal Yisrael. But we know that Ashur was also doing the wrong thing. So in Hashem's cheshbon of how things are supposed to work, it's not nice that we're going to use someone who's doing bad to punish these people who are doing bad. So what Hashem wanted was that Yonah should go to Ashur and get Ashur and people in Nineveh to do tshuva, so then they'll be good, and then Hashem could use them to punish Klal Yisrael. And that was what bothered Yonah. He didn't want to take part in punishing Klal Yisrael. He didn't want to be the one that saved the enemy so that the enemy could come and punish Klal Yisrael. That's why he didn't want to go. Could be you could really fit this back into what Pirkei Avos is saying. That's what he writes, the Barbanel, in Sefer Yonah. Interestingly, Rabbeinu Bachaye has like a whole different mahalach in this inyan of Sefer Yonah. But Rabbeinu Bachaye in the Sefer Katakemach, so he writes that the reason why Yonah didn't want to go was nothing to do with any of this stuff that we've been discussing. It's fun because Yonah was an onuf. Just like you find Moshe Rabbeinu was an onuf, he didn't want to go, and Yirmiyahu was an onuf, he didn't want to go. So Yonah was also onuf, so he didn't want to get involved. So he would rather run away. He didn't feel like he was worthy to give musr to other people. Fine. So let's go back to where we're holding. So Yonah decided he's going to run to a place. He's going to run away to a place where it doesn't say that the covenant of Hashem is there. Hareini bireachli l'makom shelo ne'amar kavod Hashem. Where is that place? Im al Hashemayim. If we're talking about the Shemayim, ne'amar shekavod Hashem. We find psukim that say that the covenant of Hashem is in the Shemayim. Shne'amar al Hashemayim kavod. Because it says in the pasuk that Hashem's covenant is on the Shemayim. Al Hashem kavod. If we're talking about the land, also the covenant of Hashem is there. Because it says in the pasuk, Shenamar, Meloi Cholaret, Kavaydai. So where is he going to go? Hareini Bareach Li Lamakam Shalai Namar Kavaydai Sham. I'm going to go to a place where his covenant is not, it doesn't say that his covenant is found there. And the Radal points out, he doesn't say that I'm going to a place where Hashem doesn't have dominion over that place. No, because that's already mamish kafira. To say that Hashem doesn't control a certain area in the world, in the universe, that's kafira. Yonah wasn't a kafir. He wasn't saying that I'm going to a place where Hashem doesn't exist or Hashem doesn't have power. No, I'm going to a place where Hashem doesn't have, where it's not a mukhubidika place for Hashem to say. Radal also points out that, you know, if that was what Yonah was thinking, so when Yonah does tshuva afterwards, we should have seen that Yonah is saying, oh, I'm doing tshuva, I thought that Hashem is not in the sea, but Hashem really is in the sea. We don't find that Yonah says that. So that wasn't his mistake. His mistake was time in the running away, not in the fact that he thought Hashem is not in the sea. Of course, Yonah knew that Hashem is in the sea. Interestingly, the Radal points out that in the Mechilta over there, in the beginning of Parshas Bo'i that we mentioned before, so the Mechilta says that how is it that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim? You know, Mitzrayim is Chutz La'aretz, it's a Makom Tamei, so how did Hashem speak to him? So the Medrash says that because it was on the river, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu on the river, so the river is a Makom Tahar, so that's okay. So the Radal asks, so why did Yonah think that if he runs away to the sea, then he's going to be saved? Oh, fuck it. Running away to the sea is more of a makam of covet of Hashem, and Hashem would be more likely to give you a nevuah. Just like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Radal points out that there's a difference between the sea and the river. Like we said in Perek Tes, that a river is a makam bracha. that the river brings out things that could grow from the water of a river, and it could go continue weiter. So the river is a makam of bracha. So since it's a makam of bracha, so Moshe Rabbeinu got his nevuahs by the river in Mitzrayim, even though usually there's no nevuah in Chutz Laaretz, but by a river, yeah. But when we're talking about a sea, a saltwater sea, Yonah was running to the Mediterranean Sea. Over there, it's not a makam bracha. We said that the sea waters are the opposite of river waters. So there, we don't find that Hashem with Dafka gives a nevuah by the sea. Another point that the Radal makes over here is that, I don't know, I'm not so convinced about this point, but he says that Yonah thought that it's not just the sea where it's not covetic for Hashem to give a nevuah, but it's also all the islands in the sea. Because the Radal reasons that it doesn't make sense that Yonah thought that he could live the rest of his life without having to go back onto dry land. He's like, Yonah didn't think that he's going to live on a boat for the rest of his life, and he's going to be mamish in the sea for the rest of the life. It has to be that Yonah realized that he's going to end up, alighting somewhere and end up going to Tarshish or wherever he's going to end up. Okay. Yeah, and going there to the place. So why? How is that going to be escaping if you're going to end up on dry land somewhere? So the result is that it has to be that he thought that wherever far off places and islands, whatever, that's all considered in the sea. Okay, I don't know. Not so convinced. Maybe that he thought that he would stay on the boat for the rest of his life. I don't know. I don't know why it's mukhaf to say what he said. But so what did Yonah do? Yonah Yafo. Yonah went to Yafo. Yafo is a city on the coast in Eretz Yisrael. It's right next to where in the modern day city of Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv and Yafo actually merged. It's like one municipality nowadays. But he went to the port city of Yafo. V'loy matosham anya leirid ba. And he went to Yafo and he didn't find a boat that was taking off over there. So he was going up and down the coast trying to find a boat that's going out somewhere. Yonah was walking around and he finally found a boat that was leaving to the sea, but it was far from Yafo. It wasn't mamsh at the port. He found it a 2 days journey away. But we said that this whole story happened in 1 day. So the Radal says that he walked a 2 days journey in 1 day. That's how you have to read it. It was a 2 days journey, but it didn't take him actually 2 days. Why did Hashem make this happen? So the Midrash says like this. L'nase says Yoina, in order to test Yoina, me asa kadosh baruch hu hevi alach se'ara bayam v'chzir l'yafei. Basically, well, what Hashem did was, in order to test Yonah, we'll see what it means to test Yonah in a moment, but in order to test Yonah, Hashem made it that this boat that he found after hard work trying to find a boat that's going out, he went out on the boat, and where did the boat take him? Back there to Yafo, because it was up as a storm, and he ended up going back to where he was looking for a boat to go from. What does it mean to test him? L'nasei says Yonah. So the Radal brings two pshatim. The first pshat he says is, so that he'll think that he's going with the right mahalach, because he went to first went to Yafo, and he couldn't find a boat that's going out. So then he went around to the different ports along the coast, and he found a boat that's going back to Yafo. So he would think to himself, "Oh, this is a siman that when I went to Yafo, that's what Hashem wants me to do." It's a way of Hashem putting him in a situation where he could think that he's doing the right thing. We find that Hashem does that sometimes. Or another mahalach that Radal brings, he doesn't like this one as much, but he says it could be that what it means is that Hashem was just stalling, making the whole ordeal take longer to give Yonah time to do tshuva. Not that he would think that he's doing the right thing, but that he should realize he's doing the wrong thing. Alright. There was a ruach sa'ara in the sea, brought him back to Yafo. Yonah was happy, because he ended up back in Yafo. V'omar, achshav ani yedei shedarkim yosheres lefonai. Now I see that my path is straight in front of me. I'm going along the right path because I went off from I wanted to find a boat from Yafo. And look, now I ended up back at Yafo. I found a boat and brought me back there. And now I'm going to find a boat that's going to take me elsewhere. So then he found a boat that's going out to the sea. when he was in Yafo. Omar Lahem, so he told the people from the crew of the ship, Ere Dimochem, I want to go down with you. Omruloi, they said to him, Hare Anu Hochim Li'iye Hayom, Tarshisha, we're going out to the islands of the sea, all the way down to this place called Tarshisha. Omrulam, Avoyim, I'm going to go with you. The Radal says that what they said to him was that, don't think that you're going to come with us to Tarshish and you're going to come back, you get a round trip ticket. It doesn't work like that. We're from Tarshish. We came to Eretz Yisrael to do business, and now we're going back home. If you come with us, you're going to end up in Tarshish. You're not going to end up coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So you should know that if you come with us, this is the return trip. This isn't the going trip. And he said, yeah, Afal Pekin, still I want to go with you guys. The normal way is that when you go on a boat, so you pay after you get to your destination, then you pay the guy to get off the boat, then you give him the money, and that's when you pay. But V'yayna, b'simchas libo yihikdim v'nos v'schara. Yona, in his great happiness that look, Hashem is helping me get away from this whole situation, and he's so happy, he decided he wants to pay right away, pay up front. Shinemer, it says in the pasuk, Vayokir Yona levarech Tarshisha melefnei Hashem, vayered yofoy, etc. And the Radal and the Marzu point out, the end of the pasuk is, vayitin schara vayered ba. He gave them the money and he went down on the boat. Right. They distanced themselves from so they went out for the boat, and the boat all aboard, and they went off into the sea, and they went a day's journey away from the shore. And of course the way the Radal in the beginning of the parak says it, it's only a day's journey, but it wasn't actually a day because this whole thing happened in one day. But it's mahalach yemechad, but they didn't travel for one day. And a ruach se'ara, a stormy wind came upon them in the sea, miminam u'mismalam, on the left, on the right, and on the left. But v'derech kol haniyos ayreis v'shalvos b'shalom b'shiskas hayam. All the ships passing through were going and coming and going, all in peace, and the sea was tranquil. But dafka, that boat that Yonah was on was in major trouble. Shinemar Bohania Khishali Hishaver. They thought Bohania, the boat, Khishali Hishaver, they thought it was gonna break. And the Bayis Agolu points out also that they said, the people in the boat said, Bishalmiya Raha Zais Lanu, because of who is this calamity coming upon us, Lanu, for us. That sounds like it's only for us, but for everyone else, all the ships next to us, there was no storm. So many just saying there was a storm, dafka for Yonah's boat, and not for the other boats.
That's why the Newt asked the question.
Oh.
But if it was just a storm, they would say it's just a storm. But everyone else was in the shekhet.
Right.
There's also places that there's no storm. Even though there's a storm, it doesn't do anything. Heard about them, storms and stuff in America. Sheep racks and stuff in America. Have you?
I don't know. Even if it's true, I wouldn't have heard about it. So.
I don't know. Like it sounds like it wasn't a place that it wouldn't be suitable to have such a thing.
Clearly.
Like, why are you having it here? I mean, I don't know. Atlantic.
Bermuda Triangle or something.
Yeah.
There's an interesting point over here. The Sefer Chassidim from Rabbi Yudel Chassid. Sefer Chassidim says there's two shtiglach in Sefer Chassidim which seem to contradict each other. It's going to bring out the point, sort of what you said. Sefer Chassidim Simin Tafresh Ayin Tes. I'll read it to you. Bnei Adam She'aim Din Bayom, people who are in the sea on a boat, and a stormy wind comes upon them, l'shaver hasfina, or let be on bayom, to break the boat or to drown them in the sea. V'shaver hasfina is ervis b'shalom, and all the other boats around are passing in peace. Biyadua sheyesh b'sfina misha chayov, you should know that there's someone on the boat who is guilty. V'rashoy mahapel garolis amish yipol agoyol and they're allowed to make a lottery that al misha yipol a girl gimel pomim zechaze latila layom. That if they make a lottery, that if they cast the lottery three times and it comes out on this one person, that we're allowed to throw this guy into the sea. And they should, before they do it, they should daven. The lottery will come out on someone who's really guilty, not on someone who's innocent. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says. You're allowed to do this, to throw the guy in the sea. That's one shtickle in Sefer Chassidim. Another shtickle in Sefer Chassidim, Simin Tovshin Aleph, in the same Sefer, says the exact opposite. People who are going on a boat, and there was a stormy wind, you're not allowed to cast lots. So if it comes out, the lots come out on one of the guys, you should throw them in the sea. Like they did by Yoina, we're going to see later on. And he explains, because a girl doesn't have a halachic standing, it doesn't work for dinei mamonos. It could be it's considered gzela if you win something in a lottery, whatever. It's not so pashut. It's like gambling. So he says that for sure, if it doesn't work for dinei mamonos, it for sure doesn't work for dinei nefashos, so you're not allowed to do it. So he says, Muhammad, open contradiction. First he says you're allowed to do it, he says you're not allowed to do it. Malasot. I was just thinking right now, as I was reading this, the first time he said, if you do the lottery three times, so could be if you do it three times, then you're allowed to do it. If you do it only once, then maybe he's talking about you're not allowed to do it.
Could be. How do you get the three?
If you're not allowed to do it the first time. Maybe he means you're not allowed to be same on it for, I'm not sure.
When I first learned about a lot of Chazak, someone told me, like, look, Chazak is not only like that, something like, or forces were, but it's not something that's like a, just like you learn like a lochet. It's only for Jews. Like it's something that everyone agrees. You go everywhere. So like if they happen three times, it's like a even for going, it's a lochet.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah, that's how it maybe came. Forcing it from Torah. There's something real like a accepted and acceptable even amongst the.
Right.
That's what the guy told me. Like, I don't know if it's true.
I remember, like when I was in high school, we were learning geometry. It's like if you want to say something or whatever, you have to have like three proofs. Like three proofs that's considered like a mathematical. Like we hold of it if you have three proofs. That's something like that.
The only possible form is a triangle.
What?
The only possible form, the first possible form, is a triangle.
Yeah.
It means like the three. If you don't have two sides.
Right.
Three sides. If you have two sides, they have a triangle. Without one of the sides, you have it.
Okay, so what do we do with this Sefer Chassidim? On one hand, he says you could do it, and on the other hand, he says you can't. So one answer is Medrash Talpiyos, and on Anaf Geirel. Medrash Talpiyos is written by the person who wrote this Sefer that we have on Pirkei Avos, called Vayoyed Ella, Rabbi Leo Hakoyin Meizmir. I mentioned him in the introduction. So Medrash Talpiyos says that the first shtickle in Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, it's said that you're going and there's a storm in the sea and all the other boats are passing in peace. So in that case, where you already see that there's something supernatural going on over here, that the storm is only for you and not for them, so there you already see there's something supernatural, so you could do a girl to try to figure out what exactly is happening. But if it's a storm in the sea, and you don't see that there's something extra supernatural here, then you shouldn't do the girl. That's what he says. The Knesset Gedolah and Chesed Mishpat Simin Kuf Ayin Gimel Hagayis Beis Yosef Siv Kadan Gimel writes he has two things that he says. First of all, the story of Yonah, there were Goyim, so maybe Goyim they're allowed to do it. And then he says another thing, that also Yonah, they didn't force him to go into this to sea. He said, put me in the sea. So it could be that if they're goyim and the guy agree, or the guy agrees to it, so then you could do lots to see who should go into the sea. Okay. Alright, let's go weiter. Rabbi Chananya Oimer, Meshivim Mashonis Hayabanya. Rabbi Chananya says that there were 70, literally means 70 languages on the boat. What it means is that there were this was like the UN boat. There were representatives of all the different nations on this boat. The Al-Sheikh, interestingly, the Al-Sheikh in Sefer Yoina brings this Pirkei Avos And he explains it a little bit better, what the kavana of Yonah was. He dafka went on a boat where there would be goyim from all 70 from 70 different nations on this boat, because he was thinking to himself, look, I'm doing something bad, because Hashem doesn't really want me to run away. But if I run away and I sort of sneak myself, not sneak myself, but put myself into a situation where there's 70 people from 70 other nations, so I'll sort of be batel. Like, you know, batel b'shishim, the batel b'shivim, for sure, shivim, if you're batel b'shishim, for sure, batel b'shivim. I'll be nullified, and Hashem is not going to punish all these people just because of me. That was what Yonah was thinking. And then the Ashach later on explains that, no, he was wrong, because a yid is, like we have in Hilchas Taruvus, the Dover Choshuv is not batel b'shishim. If you have like a beria or a chaticha ruy l'skabe, whatever, you put it in, mix it into something, that even if it's 60 times more than it, it's not batel, because it's a chosh of a thing.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. It's
just,
right. The person is a chosh of a thing, it's not.
Yeah. No, but the kud is not that he's a person necessarily, but the kud is that he's a yid, a Jew.
Yeah.
A Jew is a chosh of a thing, it's not going to be batel. Hashem is willing to punish all these people just because you're doing something wrong. He's willing to bring something bad to all these. That's the Al-Sheikh in Sefer Yonah. They're interesting in the Kula. I actually spoke...
And also, remember the shtickle a lot about the Beitzah?
Yeah.
Called the Beitzah that fell in the Tarot. So it was different Beitzah. There was Hashosh, there was a Trefa. It says something that's going to come to be permitted the next day.
Right, Dover Sheish Lamatirin.
Dover Sheish Lamatirin, and Lamit Batel Afilu Be...
Okay, let's go weiter.
What's the point of something that's hard about the day?
What?
Sorry. So what's the point of that? The rush shows more material that by the moment when he does whatever Hashem wants him to do, it's gonna be a matter.
Oh, I hear.
You could say that.
Is that like a double shish?
Yeah, it was like he wanted to be battle because he was doing something wrong. Because
he could have done
true. He can't be the Russian material because the regular guy, because the guy, Yana does whatever Shannon was commanding him to do, is going to be a.
So it's not possible.
Alright,
cute. I have a whole.
Beta.
No, sorry. When I finished learning Hilchos Taruvus, I wrote a whole drush. There's a medrash that the goyim asked, how come you don't say Achrei Rabim L'Hatos? Like, there's more goyim than yidden in the world. So just like the roiv people do avodah zarah, you should also do avodah zarah because you go with the roiv. So there's a bunch of answers to this question. So I wrote like a whole drush with all the different yisaidis of Hilchos Taruvus to try to answer that question. It's some interesting thing.
What?
Huh? No, it wasn't Tavra, it was, I think it was like Rava or something like that. Yeah. But so there were people from all the different nations of the world. Each one had his avodah zarah with him. Shneimar vayiru hamalochim vayizaku ish el elahav. The sailors saw and the sailors were scared and they all cried out to their gods. Vayishtachavu vayomru Nikra ish b'shem elikav. They bowed down and they decided each person is going to go and speak to their God and pray to their God. And whatever God is going to listen and save us from this, from our distress, he's the real God. That's what they decided. Each one went and they prayed to their God and it didn't work. What about Yonah? Yonah, in all his distress, he fell asleep. He was sleeping then. He was depressed or something. I don't know. He was sleeping. There was a whole situation going on. That's what he was there sleeping. The Radal says that this is not like Rabbeinu Bachaye, who says the exact opposite. Rabbeinu Bachaye in Katakemach writes that Yonah was so batuach that Hashem is going to save him, that he didn't bother getting up and davening. He went to sleep because he was so he felt so much betachen in Hashem. But the Medrash says the exact opposite. They're saying that no, he was so distressed that he didn't know what to do. He went to sleep. Boy, love Rava Chayvel, the captain of the ship came over to him. Look, we're standing here between life and death, and you're asleep. You went down and you're sleeping. Me'ez amata. Which nation are you from? Who are you? Amaloi Ivri Anechi. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew. Amaloi, he said to him, Valoi Shamanu Shalikei Ho Ivrim Galilu. Have we not heard that the God of the Jews is great? The Radal says that it's like the Lashon of the Pasuk, Parshas Yisroel, Gadol Hashem Mikol Ha'alikim, that they recognized that the Hashem is greater than all the gods. That's what the Radal says. The Barbanel, if you look in the Barbanel and Sefer Yonah, it doesn't say like that. The Barbanel says that they really what they wanted was if you daven to your God, I daven to my God, everyone davens to their God, to their gods, so as a tziruf, a combination of all the gods together, they'll be able to do something. But not that they agreed that Hashem is greater. Okay, whatever. Go call out to your God. Maybe Hashem is going to do something for us. There's different ways of touching what it means. Maybe Hashem is going to have charato, or Hashem is going to make things work out. And Hashem is going to go and he's going to make miracles for us like he did miracles for your nation at the Yamsuf. Go, Yonah, go pray for us. Yonah said to them, Loi achached mikem, I cannot withhold from you this vital piece of information. It's because of me that this great distress is happening to you. So uni vatiluni el hayom v'yishek hayam aleichem. Pick me up and pull me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down for you. Shenamer v'yam aleichem suuni v'yam aleichem suuni vatiluni. Pick me up and put me in the sea. What? Yeah.
Historically, people try to cover it up, like, it didn't happen, whatever. This is one proof, ages after what happened. But the 70 nations of the world recognized it, Kiryas Yam Suf.
Right. Reb Shimon Oimer, Lo kibul ha'anashim l'hapil l'siyan el hayom. The people, the crew of the ship, they didn't accept upon themselves to throw Yonah into the sea. They didn't agree. What did they do instead? They decided they're going to cast lots. And the lot, of course, came out on Yonah. They put out lottery and it came out, and the lottery came out on Yonah. It could be that according to Sefer Chassidim, maybe they did it three times. I don't know. It doesn't say, but maybe. Me also, what did they do? They took all the vessels that were on the boat, all the extra utensils, whatever. They threw all the stuff into the sea so that the boat would be lighter and maybe they won't drown. And it didn't help anything. The Radal points out that the Mistala, they did this before this whole story happened. And this is a little out of order. And then the Radal brings from Targum Yonah that what it means is that Hipilu. Not less a kalim shavaniya. They took their vessels. Doesn't mean vessels like their spoons and their cups or whatever. It means their gods, which now they viewed as just mere vessels, like their idols or whatever. That's what the Targum says. It didn't help. Rotsu l'achta le'be'avoshav le'yachilu. They wanted to go anchor back to dry land. They couldn't. Me also. So what did they do? Not less yoina. They picked up yoina. Va'amdu al yakasei hasfina, and they stood on the edge of the boat. Va'amru, and they said, Elokei Olam Hashem, the God of the world, Hashem, al titen aleinu damnoki, don't make us spill innocent blood. She'ein anu yedem mativa shel ish hazeh, because we don't know what's up with this guy. So the way the Radal and the Marzu have the girsa. It's and he said to us that this is coming because of him, and he said, "Sooni vatiluni elayom, pick me up and put me in the sea." The way the gear says in front of us, it just says that, and he said back to he said to them while they were making this prayer, pick me up and put me in the sea. Miad natluhu vitiluhu ad akavaisov. Immediately they picked him up and they put him down in the sea up to his knees. And the sea stopped from its anger. He was in the sea up to his knees. They pulled him back up. And then the sea started having a storm again. they picked him up and they put him into the sea again until his torso. And then the storm stopped. And they brought him back up, and they brought him back up onto the deck. And then the storm started up again. They put him back down into the sea, up to his neck. And the sea calmed down from its anger. This is the third time. And then they brought him back up, put him back on the deck, and the storm came back. So what happened? So now the Radal says they tried it three times to see is this storm really coming because of Yonah or not. And they saw it three times. Now it's a chazaka. We know, like Rabbi Epstein said, chazaka. The Radal says chazaka. We know it's really coming from you. So we can't let you hear. It's a sakana for us, whatever. So what did they do? Kuloi umiyar omar yom zapay. They threw him completely into the sea, and then the sea completely calmed down from its anger, and Yonah was thrown into the sea. And what happens to Yonah? We're going to see next week. To be continued. Same bat time, same bat channel. A good vlog. Thank you for coming.